Let's read from chapter 14 in the book of Revelation. I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of a fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night to worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which in heaven he is also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. In this, as to this 14th chapter, where the 144,000 is standing on the mountain, having been sealed, as to the tribulation of this that they've just gone through from chapter 4 and over in chapter 6 and over in chapter 7. Chapter 7, where they're sealed to go through chapter 8, 9, and 10, 11, and 12, and 13 as to what it records as to the tribulation. And then they're found on Mount Zion, standing here on Mount Zion, as to having been sealed from the things that they had to go through. As it is said that out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, or a deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Well, that is to say, here there is 144,000 sealed, which is the whole house of Israel, or the house of Jacob, and that Jacob's name was changed to Israel as to the name of a prince when he wrestled with the angel and prevailed just before meeting his brother Esau. And the 144,000 is the 12,000 from each tribe. Here is the whole house of Israel that has been sealed as to the foreknowledge of God. It is expressed to us here. And then it is said that after this, there is seen one sitting on a cloud that comes with a sharp sickle. And it says that he should thrust in the sharp sickle, for the time of the harvest has come. Which to you and I means that At this time, the church has already been taken out. About chapter 4 over here is to the door open in heaven. And then as to the first part of the tribulation period here is to the 3.5 years. Then we see that something has taken place here, that this 144,000 has been sealed. And coming to the middle of the week, we find out that just past the middle of the week, that Antichrist coming on the scene to confiscate has taken everything into his control. And now he's fixing to kill out everything that has rejected him. And those that receive the number of his name, of his mark, have no rest day or night, but they're tormented continually. But we find here that those that have rejected, Satan closes in on them to kill them. And as he goes to kill, the blood begins to run, and it is referred to as the Lord thrusting in the sickle as to the grapes. And then he begins to gather these to him, because he hath told them that in this, that when this time comes about, they that would be willing to give their lives for his sake shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And so then he begins to gather them to him. The harvest is now ripe, and the sickle is being thrust in. The blood is beginning to run. And then another comes out that has power over fire. And then he thrusts in his sickle. And the reaping of this sickle is the vine of the earth. Not the grapes, but the vine, as to the clusters, grapes, as to wild grapes. That is to say, these are they that are to be gathered together, as we say, and this went through the vine, or we say the grapevine or the vine of the earth. So this is to be gathered into the wrath of Almighty God. And it said he cut down the vine, and it goes, that is to get rid of the people, it goes to the valley of the battle, where the blood will run to the horse's bridle. Like the song we wrote, as to thrust in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, and the blood is to the bridle, and the valley is overflowing with the slain. So then we find here that these are the people that are spoken of later on, where it says, and three unclean spirits went out of the mouth of the false prophet and out of the dragon and whatever. These went out to gather together all the kings of the earth unto the battle of Almighty God, as to the great day of his supper. So we see that this is what he's speaking of here, and that he's wanting us to understand that the time of his wrath has drawn nigh. Now, in this, there was an angel that flew through the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. Maybe sometime we'll be able to elaborate on that, as to the difference between the gospel, the everlasting gospel, and the different phases of the gospel that the Bible speaks of, all being the gospel. And not as though an angel would preach to them here, because this is for someone to preach. He has the everlasting gospel that's to be preached to them that dwell on the earth. All right, so then when we speak of this, we have to understand what the Lord is saying. And this is the time of the mark of the beast. Now, when we think about the beast, we think of that one that's coming as to the Antichrist, and that's what's going to be as to the Antichrist coming on the scene. And indeed, he is coming on the scene. And we think, and that will be the beast. And of course, numbers of messages here, sermons on tape, where we expounded as to detail the beast and what it has to do with. But we think of that as being the beast, but we don't stop, as I say so many times to you, to consider the fact that the beast is this human body from its first birth. And that the thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden gave place to this, and that those that come as in Adam all die. And that in Adam, the beast image comes forth as from Adam, because Adam, falling from the garden, lost the image that Jesus restored as the second man Adam at Calvary. And in that Adam was just within the illumination of this great wonderful image, then they stepped out from this garden and from the presence of this image in which they were made, as to the image of God in his likeness. And when they stepped out from this, then Adam lost the title Son of God. Because until then he was referred to as the Son of God. The Son of God by act of creation and then illuminated with the image. And there he was clothed or covered at that time with the covering of God, which was God's glory. And the world today that are without, that's not in the church, are covered with this covering as to the fact that there is grace in the world today, our blood, on the seat of atonement. And in this day that we're living in, the ungodly men of our hour is turning this grace into lasciviousness because they go after the things of the world and they play with religion in a charismatic order as to do all of these things through the denominational formalities of the world. Doing these things, then they are given to lasciviousness as to practicing religion in formality and not being born again as to have God's Spirit on the inside. And the thing you can't seem to get over to them is that if you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. It doesn't matter how much you believe. Preachers preach so much that all you've got to do is believe. But folks, I try to explain so often that just mere believing is not enough. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well, because even the world as a whole don't believe there's one God. They believe there's all kind of gods. But to us, there's but one God. And if you believe there's one God, you do well. The Bible said even the devils believe and tremble. But that does not mean that you're saved. No, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, even though it does say, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth for the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. For there's but one Spirit, and if ye be born to the Spirit, then are ye mine. But if ye be not born to the Spirit, then that is a stillbirth. Though you believe, you've come forth as into this thing, but it is a stillbirth, and you are dead. For they that live in the world, that have the love of the world on the inside of them, they do not have the love of the Father in them. Their desires for the world and the things of the world and the love of the flesh, Jesus said as to this, get thee behind me, Satan. It brought nothing into the world, and it's for sure that you're going to take nothing out of the world. So then if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. The image that you're born in is not the image that you was created in. I know people, you know, they say, well, Brother Pike, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. You know, and they hold to that, that they are the image and likeness of God. And in their intellectual derangement of mind, they go out and they pump steel as to build muscles, and they jog and they go out into the frolics of the world and the sports of the world, and they try to make them a name and all these kind of things, have to have the security and convenience of the world and feeling like that they are the image of God. Satan has more advantage to enter into them, because he enters into them because they're lifted up and lofty through education and through prestige and self-esteem. So then he wrecks their life and wrecks their true believing as to faith in the Word. See, and they find themselves magnifying themselves and exalting themselves when the Bible said he that exalted himself, whether it be a celebrity of the world or whether it be a religious thing, whatever it might be, they shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself, as to Jesus showing us the example in the washing of the feet, shall be exalted. And with this, no one shall be able to overthrow you, because the Bible said, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, that you are my elect according to foreknowledge, and no one can lay anything to your charge, for it is God that justifieth you. It is Christ that died for you. And the Bible said heaven, earth, things present, things to come, Satan, powers, riches, poverty, whatever, cannot separate you from the love of God, which was so great and mighty that it gave the best thing that heaven could afford in your behalf. So this great, wonderful love of God, it has brought us salvation. It has wrought salvation. And as I say again, so say I to you, that you are sealed on the inside by the angelic being of the great Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. And that through the name of our lovely Lord Jesus. With this, the Bible said, you keep yourself as an individual, and the evil one toucheth you not. So you're without spot. You're without wrinkle and you're without blemish. And he that is born of God, the seed of God, which is the word of Christ, remaineth on the inside of him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So we say, Father, forgive our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we realize that with what we're saying, that the image was lost. And when God spoke to Adam and Eve and their descendants, he said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. And that covering that you cover with is the skins that God put on you in the garden as having failed from that lofty state of that celestial world into this lowly state of a beast. Then that means that you are clothed with skins as a beast today. And you're ever learning and can never come to the knowledge of the truth, because that body is infiltrated with the mind of Lucifer that came as a derivative from the tree of knowledge, which is death. So to be carnally minded is death, to lean to your own understanding is death. We have to eradicate every thought, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. To come out of the world, be not partakers of the world, to be separate from the world. Touch not the things under the curse, as the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Pray, ask God, look to God, run things through the filter, seek the kingdom first. All of the other things that God created for you that emanated from God in your behalf will be given unto you, and you'll find yourself lacking no good thing. Even to delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So then we find that this image, as to the fallen image, as to your spiritual angelic being on the inside, is in captivity today in this tabernacle. As Peter said, you are tabernacling in a human tabernacle as to a beast form. And that is the bastard child image. And you are in the image that God despises. He said, I will despise your image in the morning. Now, if I was in the image of God as to this birth, why then would he despise his own image? You've fallen from that image because that image was lost through the fall. And he said, I will despise your image in the morning. Unless you can be born again to let this image be dead by the body of Jesus Christ, in that he became your sin as to that sinful image of iniquity, then alive as unto God through the righteousness of the body of the Lord Jesus, as to the foreknowledge of which he sees, as to the change in Thessalonians, which is fast coming to us. Then, unless you can be like that in the morning, he's going to despise your image. You may be a billionaire. You may be attractive in your own eyes. You may be handsome, or you may be lovely and pretty and all these kind of things. And you may paint your lips and arch your eyebrows, and you may pump your muscles and do all kind of things. But when you finish, you are an image of iniquity and a bastard child image that God despises. You may look into the mirror and go through all the things that the stars of the world do, as the celebrities and the dignitaries of the world do, and the polish of ethics of life. But when you're finished, you're still the bastard child image and the image of iniquity that God smote in the form of the Lord Jesus at Calvary to take it out of his sight to where he would never see it again. And you that are born again, you that love God, you that have God's spirit, as he was delivered for your offenses, so was he raised as to your justification. And today you are that wonderful, beautiful body without sin in the sight of God. And though you cannot see as to each other as to what you look like, now, beloved, are you the sons of God as to the translation of that interman, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. That is to say, in Christ, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring or restoration of all things. So it is very evident that this body must be changed. Though it is the purchased possession, and God has paid the price at Calvary, yes, it must go through a change. And this thing as to an evolution or a change of transformating right into the body of Christ is in this world, as to coming and taking over this world and having the educational praises of the world and diplomacies of life and having the riches and all these things of polished ethics, that has nothing to do with God. In the highest form of it is more foolish than anything else. And these that are first in the world as to the dignitaries of the world shall topple as stars that are up there in this world of celebrities, and they must come down. And these that are abased as to the common people hearing God gladly. As to turning away from the sins of the world, these shall be elevated and raised up into great wonderful places and wonderful heights, to be as the stars that shineth forever and ever in the wonderful, wonderful heavens of God. And all of the reflectors shall fall, utterly fall, and just crumble from the heavens. All right, so then a third part of the stars failed because he wrapped his tail around it as to the dragon, cast them down to earth, and they were trampled upon. Many things we've said about that in the past and could say about it as to allegoric means. So then we realize that we must be born again. And Christ Jesus, the only one made heir to the glory of God, then as to the promise, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, even Isaac, the promised son, in Isaac shall the seed be called. And through Isaac, as to Christ Jesus, shall all the nations of the world be blessed. He alone being made heir to the glory of God, he is within us. And Christ within you is the hope of that glory that he stood in on the Mount of Transfiguration between Moses and Elijah. This wonderful glory of God that makes you so beautiful, makes you so radiant, makes you so young, makes you so strong, makes you perfect in the voice of singing or voices of praise or understanding or riches, power, whatever. See, this glory, that's what the glory of God is he's perfect in everything. God is the perfect state of life and pleasure, enjoyment as to righteousness, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, even from everlasting to everlasting. And so then that's what you are as one with him when you're born of his glory. There's a glory in the world, and if you obtain unto that great glory, then you become a billionaire, you become a celebrity, you're the glitter of the world, and you're the praises of the world. And that's what the world has to offer, which is a glory, which is Satan himself. All of the fame of the movie stars, that's Satan. All of the polished ethics of life, that's Satan. All of the governments of the world, that's Satan. All the things of the world are contaminated. For the Bible said the world and all that's in the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the world and all this passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're withdrawn because that's the land of Esau. That belongs to Esau. It doesn't belong to you and I as to why the curse is upon it. God will destroy it because it's only a myth, and the thing that you see is only a lying vanity. Solomon said vanity, vanity, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So we are not of this world. Jesus, having chosen us out of this world, therefore we find no pleasure in this world. We are not of this world. We are of another world. Therefore, we are of another body. We are of another age. So we don't belong to this world. And we're not whoring after this world or going after the things of this world. But we're going after God because God is ours and we belong to God. All things are ours. As to this world, when the vanities are gone and it's brought back to the original stages, as to the state of life that it was in the garden, then it will be our world again. Because all things are made for us. But we have to remember, as I've said to you numbers of times, that God, who so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or so loved the world, that he gave his Son to redeem the world and bring the world back to him, that we can't get confused and say, well, if he loved the world, then I love the world. Because that's the way that God did it. Because that's a perversion from Satan using the word. As a great Bible scholar, he used the word on the Lord Jesus and tried to destroy Jesus with the word, changing the word of God into a lie to make it say something it doesn't say as to his perverted use. Having illuminated the world with himself, because as the sun of the morning, he is a reflector of the glory of God, and he makes the world to look glittering and pretty and alluring as to our human senses that makes us relative to the world. He allures us and draws us to these things. As the Bible said, we're enticed, then drawn away from our steadfastness in God. And then the first news you know, Satan has overwhelmed us and we're swallowed up and we're going after the glitter and glamour of the world. See, but we have to remember that God so loved the world while it was in its virginity state as to while it was pure, while it was righteous, while it was a holy place, as a habitation for mankind in the beginning, before the curse, before the contamination, that God, He so loved it that He gave His Son to redeem it back to this place of perfection, to bring in, as we would say, the millennium world, all the restored world, as to restore all of the species of life, that He then might change it, transformate it, and change it into the wonderful celestial world, as to that heavenly regime that's from everlasting to everlasting. And I say to you a lot of times that we as time creatures, we don't understand because we're caught within the radius of the night. And when you go to sleep, you don't know when you go to sleep. You just know that when you wake up, you've been asleep. And since men are asleep, the Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory. As to the eyes of the understanding becoming lightning, as to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great light, I say so many times, shining in darkness as the intellectual ignorance, and the darkness comprehended it not. As to the great light that is springing up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. So then we, as these that can see as children of light, do comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful understanding of a light that is glory. Whereas as her light, the Bible said in New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, and her light was most precious, even as that of a jasper stone. So then, as to the light most precious, we know then that it was the light of the Lamb. For the Bible said, and the Lamb is the light of that city. And the radiance of that light most precious was the understanding of Almighty God, even the mind of Christ. And this light that radiate, just like the light that comes through the circumference of above or makes the surrounding or whatever it might be, this wonderful light, as that power coming in a surge through that filament and then from that filament into that radius as up above and then illuminating around us as our light so shines that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, as the Lord has said, having set thee as to be a light to the ends of the earth, that all of the Gentiles may come to thy rising. So we find out that that precious light is nothing less than the Lamb Himself. We being stones, beautiful stones, God said, and I will remember you when I make up my jewels and spare you as a man spareth his son, because ye are my jewels. And He spake often about me, so I wrote a book of remembrance. I will remember you when I make up my jewels or come to make up my jewels. And then I will spare you as a man spareth his son. For we are His sons. For the Bible said, He has sent the Spirit of Christ, even His Son, into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And so then now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. And that was lost in Adam as to the Shekinah being taken away, today we have that covering. And we cover with that wonderful covering, as to the covering cherubs, we cover with that wonderful covering today, because it is the Spirit of Christ, even the covering of God's glory, even that which was the illumination as to the image in the garden in which man was made, as to the inner man to begin with. So then now we know that being resurrected from the dead, we are alive forevermore. And that we are already the sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear as to your change, as to the purchased possession. But already ye are the sons of God. Already ye pass from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. For no one can lay anything to your charge. So then already are we free from condemnation. And the Bible tells us, as I say so often again, that we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. See, for he that walketh in the Spirit, there is no condemnation to him at all. And the Bible teaches that we cannot walk in the flesh. How can I walk in the flesh if I am dead to the flesh and my body of sin is dead and buried and gone? How then can I walk in the flesh? If I cannot walk in the flesh, how then can I be under condemnation, or how can condemnation seize upon me? That's why that I quote the scripture so often, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. He knows that we're sons of God. He knows that we're passed from death unto life. He knows that we're His lovely image by predestination that will come to the change. See, so He knows who we are. And if the devil oppresses us and condemns us and tries to cast us down by tearing up our faith, don't do that. Don't cast away your faith. It hath great recompense and reward. Taking the shield of faith, you quench the fire darts of Satan. See, and you don't want to throw away your shield of faith. If you stumble and stagger, don't condemn yourself, but pray to God. Ask God to forgive you. Get in and take strength and go on, because God is your righteousness. It wasn't your righteousness to begin with. This is the thing that Paul had the dispute over with Peter. When he faced Peter, and the Bible said in talking to Peter, he said, and I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. For he said, Peter, he eat with the Gentiles, and then when the Jews come, he would withdraw, and he would get afraid. And Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, Peter, he said, then Jesus Christ is dead in vain, because we had the law to start with. He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. And he withstood Peter to his face and blamed him because he was to be blamed. He said to the Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should turn away from the truth and not obey the Lord? Said, who, before whose eyes he evidently was set forth and crucified. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now you made perfect by the flesh? So then let's not frustrate the grace of God. I am saved because he's good, not because I'm good. I am enduring because of his strength, not of my strength. The Bible said, when I've done all that I can to stand and my faith strength has failed, then that I should be strong in the power of his might. Even Peter, look at Peter. He should have known this above all people. Because look at Peter. He denied the Lord. He cursed. He'd done the things that Jesus said as to seeing Satan on him, said, get thee behind me, Satan. And then he turned and said, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. See, he had already failed in his righteousness. He'd already failed in his stride toward God. And he didn't have anything left except as like when he walked on the water. His faith had failed. And then Christ saved him. And he was praying there as to Jesus saying, Father, don't let his faith fail. That is to say, your works has failed, Peter, but don't ever fail to believe I'm good. And don't ever fail to believe in my love. Don't ever fail to believe in my mercy, because if you do, I can't get to you. See, someone would say, well, praise God, do what you will. Live, drink, and be merry, happy. You know, because if we do wrong, God will forgive us. No, that's not right, folks. The Bible said once you come to the knowledge of the truth, all of this atonement as to the blood atonement does not apply to you anymore unless you go on with God. If you go on with God and then in your struggle and trying you stumble with no will or desire to go back into the things of the world, then the blood still atones for you. Satan hasn't touched you. You're still born of God. That's the proof of it. But if you willingly go back into things of the world and mess around with the things of the world, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice as to Calvary for the atonement of sin, because sacrifice of sin is strictly for them that do not know and them that are unlearned. And that's why the Bible said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because when you're cold, the blood atones for you. When you're hot, the Spirit of God is there and the blood still atones for you. And you have the righteousness of God. But when you get in between as to know and not to do, then you stand at the gate, you hinder them that's coming. And those that would come in, you cause them to turn away and you become vomit in that God can't stand that. He spews you out of his mouth. So then, whatever you do, coming to the knowledge of the truth, you want to go on with God. Don't cast away your faith when you stumble, because Jesus loves you. He is the righteous one. He is your strength. And the Bible said when he, our life, appears, then we shall appear in glory with him. For every man that hath the hope within him that he is going to see him as he is, then this man is pure even as he is pure. For God purifieth our heart by faith. For we are born of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh, even the resurrected body, unto life, even to the extent that Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. And of course, we elaborated a little bit on that the other night as to gods. We're not going to try to get into it this morning. I want to stop just long enough here to say this, that we are near the judgment. The judgment is coming fast. The days of the Gentiles is at an end. Whether you be young, whether you be old, whether you be middle-aged, whatever it might be, you need to do something, folks. You need to get right with God. I speak these words to you, and as I speak these words to you, I would love to go on and go on into the wonderful mysteries of Christ, even to the deeper depths, even to the deeper depths, and into the greater heights of God. But just these few little words of exhortation this morning. I speak these words to you, and from my lips, not me speaking, but Christ speaking from within me, because if I was what I was when I was as to what I used to be, then I wouldn't utter forth words like this. It is God within his temple speaking, and the Bible said, let all the world keep silent. So then, as with these words, when I speak these words as to the vibrations of my lips, as to my vocal utterance, as to which is real repulsive, because I don't have the throat of an orator. I keep it tore up all the time as to preaching, hollering, screaming. I can't hardly sing or do anything as to keeping my throat tore up. But the thing I do say is when I speak, being God speaking unto you, as to the Lord himself, then the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. And being in the house of God, you hear and you receive these vibrations. And as these vibrations come forth, they strike your listening ear, and your ears record these vibrations to the nerves in your ears. And as the ears record these vibrations, they go down into your heart, and the vibrations become interwoven with the little cells as to the atomic particles, the minute part down to the very beaters, and the electrons that's down in your heart as to the blood cells and whatever, it goes into there, and the vibrations become interwoven with that which is you as to the energetic part, as to the quickening, as to what is referred to as the human spirit on the inside. And with this, it prepares the heart. The preparation of man's heart is from God, whether good or bad. The Bible said God rules in the affairs of men. He hath his way in all things. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to a city and I've not seen it, or we say a lie, saith the Lord? So then, with these vibrations, it goes down into the intricate part of you and into your innermost being, even into your spirit. This is life. These words are spirit and life. They're utterance as to the spirit, using my vocal utterance to convey to you this great invisible force as to the understanding of God, this great wonderful God of spirit and life. He conveys this to you by means of the vibrations of human vocal utterance and by the recording of human hearing as to those vibrations, and then it's transferred or transmitted into your spirit, and with the spirit you become greater and mightier, and your spirit becomes interwoven with the spirit of Christ until you're completely interwoven as the safeguard within the garment to where nothing can penetrate and spot you. Thus you're sealed from Satan's power of penetration, which tries to get into your spirit. See, as the worm within the apple, we know that he's in the body to this extent, that we're born into the world through the fall, through the weakness. Paul said, and within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present as to an inward man, but how to perform that which is good as to the outer man, he said, I find not. And I find this law that when I would do good as to the will of the inner man, a law shows me that there is with me sin, and there is with me corruption. I can't get away from this, Paul said, as to it being present in that the very days are evil. The very days, Satan being the prince of the powers of the air, even having in control the atomic particles as to the powers to destroy morals and destroy with the atomic bombs and all of the scientists falsely so called as to wars and rumors and all of these things. Where does the Bible say, where does wars come from? Does it not come from the lust that warreth within you? So then, knowing some man will rise up and start a war, we realize that Satan is projecting himself through the image or human instrumentality. And also knowing that when men or women come to present themselves before God in the house of God, that Satan comes also as in the days of Job, because in the days of grace, he, those evil spirits that wander through the dry places being tormented, that can't get out of them, they enter into these bodies, even as a legion and the man there in Gadara, or as seven evil devils that was in Mary Magdalene, Or as the Bible said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of you, wandering through the dry places, seeking rest, can't find it, he comes back to the house that he moved out of, and then not being able to go in because it's purged, cleansed, sanctified as to the purification of faith. Then he takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself and enters into that man's life and heart. And the last stage of that man is worse than the first. To get an intellectual indoctrination of God is the worst thing that ever happened. Did you know the worst thing that ever happened to Israel was the law? To this extent, it brought them to the knowledge of sin. And Paul, as a Jew, said, I was alive without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died, because that which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. Even though the law is good and the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. And that which I do, I allow not for this. And that I do not do, this is what I want to do. And he said, and this law, it's here. See, this law is here as to the law of sin and death. I have the law of liberty on the inside as to Christ, and I'm sealed, and I know that I'm sealed inwardly. But how to perform this as to make this life of Christ manifest in my outer genes, I find not, because the law is that evil is present with me when I want to do good. And I find this thing is to an operation of trying to trample down the mind of humanity, and I just can't. Paul said, it's just, oh, wretched man that I am. That's the only way I can sum it up. And he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of the bastard child image, he'd done away with the flesh once and for all. He lifted me up, as they say, Brother Pike, and he nailed me to the cross. And he lifted you up and he nailed you to the cross. And the Bible said, then we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to these bodies, or to the flesh, or to the world, by the body of Jesus Christ. And he that knew no sin was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, having taken my bodies to the deliverer, as being delivered for my offenses, taking my body, he done away with my body, he buried that body of sin out of the sight of God forever, that it's gone. See, so I accept him in identity as to be baptized in his lovely name, because I am now dead to sin, so I am buried with him in baptism to be identified with him as death, to show that that really was me, as to the remission of sin by the blood, and then for the remission of sin as to be buried, to show that that body of iniquity is forever gone out of the sight of God, and that was me that he smote, and I must be buried because I am dead by the body through repentance. So then I find myself buried in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin, identified with him. Is now not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've overcome the tempter. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb as to what he done for me, and my testimony to the blood of the Lamb. So I'm buried, I'm hid from these things. And in that water is a grave as to the navy, the sailors, whatever. So I am buried with him in baptism. And now it's me delivered as to, once for the offenses, my natural man delivered, as to raise for my justification, my spiritual man, even Christ, in that it's not me that's living, but him raised unto the justification of eternal life. For he hath foreknew, he hath predestinated, he hath thus justified, he has thus sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, where I cannot sin, and he hath justified, sanctified, and now he hath glorified, for the Bible says he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and them that he foreknew he also did glorify, as to Jesus standing on the mountain in glory, as to say, this is the finishing from the manger to the cross, as to the diplomacy of life, and this is you, Brother Pike, standing in glory. And what I am, that's what you are, as Christ is, so am I in him, and what God wanted me to be. The Bible said, I am God's workmanship in Christ Jesus unto perfection. So what I'm saying is this, that in these things we're more than conquerors in Christ who gave himself for us. And Jesus coming in the image of the animal, and that in a manger, to show us that it was a stable as to this world, that we're born into this old stable of this world as a babe. Born, and then from the manger as to the stable, he went into glory. And lifting us up from this lowly place of animal life, as to what scientists have proved that man really is, coming from the beast, then we change over to that heavenly side, And Jesus then looks at us and says, you're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. He said to them, I go away, I go back to my Father, I go to where I come from. Ye are of the earth, from the earth ye came, to the dust thou shalt return. But he said unto you and I, he said, we are not of the dust, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and I go back to where I came from. So folks, when you're born again, you're only acknowledging that you passed through this veil of death as to this intellectual wilderness of wandering as a church in the wilderness to come to this great temple of God as to the mind of Christ, as to the heavenly places, and now entering into the glories of God, even into the very holiest of holies itself as the body of the Lord Jesus, then that means that you are secure forever and nothing can ever blemish you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's everybody stand together. Appreciate your kind attention this morning. Just a few little words of exhortation to try to help and strengthen your faith. The Bible said that it's a good thing that the heart be established, and that in the present day truth, that way we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Let's everybody sing together. Don't forget now, tonight, if you will, come back, bring somebody with you. Tell people about this wonderful grace of God. Beloved friend, when you understand, and the Bible said the righteous shall understand. When you understand, then because you understand, darkness shall flee away. The star will dawn in your heart. The precious Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and righteousness. And when you know Christ, when you understand Christ, then you're not afraid of the terrors of Satan anymore. It doesn't matter who it is from around the world, you know. Satan can present himself in any form, but you understand. And you've got the Word of God, and you've got the understanding and faith to face him, to put him to a shame. For you are his master through Christ Jesus. For greater is he that is within you, even Christ, than he that is in the world, even Satan, the prince of this world. He hath no power over you, for he said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For Satan cannot touch him that is born of God, for the Bible says, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Sealed on the inside until the day of the change is the redemption of this body. So, when you know this, happy are ye, if you do the things he tells you to do. And then besides that, he said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. Spirit having gone back to God who gave it at death, the body is now dead, and you're they that dwell in heaven. You are they that are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. And that means that we have a right to rejoice. When you know these things, then you do rejoice. Why not? Because he hath done it all for us, not of works lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Just our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us this wonderful glory, this wonderful power, this wonderful magnificence. Why then do we want to turn to the beggarly elements of the world? The Bible said, do you desire again to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world as to relate to these things with your human senses, knowing that that is the bond's child and the child as to the mind of bondage, as to Satan's mind and the mind that come as a derivative from the tree of knowledge and that of carnality? Thus being carnal minded, you are dead. And I say so as to not to create a snare for you, that you're welcome to all things. All things are yours. If you run them through the filter, God will give them to you. If you'll seek the kingdom first, they'll be added unto you. You won't lack any good thing. For Paul said, I've sown unto you spiritual things. Shall I not reap of you carnal? If other men be partakers, am I not the more? God doesn't care if you have a bucket of gold, as I say, a mountain of gold. But there's one thing you cannot do, and that's be carnal-minded. You cannot do it. You cannot be car-minded and money-minded or fame-minded or any other kind of minded. You must be God-minded to every thought as to love and praise the Lord Jesus, and nothing in the world should move you or entice you as to desire. And then, folks, you've been redeemed, and everything around you has been redeemed, and all things are yours, all things that pertain unto life. Everything belongs to you, even to the cattle of 1,000 hills. It belongs to you and your Father. For all things are Christ, and Christ belongs to you, and everything belongs to you. Let's sing this song, beloved friend. There's room at the cross for you. Sing that with me now.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing this with me now, can you? For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. How I am happy. Come into my heart. The altars are open. Come in. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord. Can you sing that with me? Just come in. Would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? If you've never made the great commitment, now's the time to make it. He can keep that which you commit unto Him against that great day. To love Him with all of your heart. To love Him with all of your soul. To love Him with all of your strength. To love Him with all of your mind. Wonderful Jesus. Today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back a bringing others to the water that wasn't from. Sing it with me. Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Jesus gave her water, but it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. Let's give Him a hand. I was singing these little choruses just to refresh you in the Lord and to refresh ourselves in the Lord. Let's worship the Lord just for a few minutes this morning, and not forgetting the services as tonight. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, bound to be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heavens. You've got one more mile to go, and you can lay down. I wonder if all of us could just come to the altar this morning. You've got one more tear. You've got one more friend down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more to go when you can lay down your heavy load. When you get home, don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give them all. Just be faithful along the way. It'll get it all someday, and it's all gonna be over. Can you sing that with me? You've got one. You've got one more sorrow when down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go. When you can lay down your heavy load. When you get home. There is someone who cares for you. Sing that with me, can you? He'll come down from the sky. He'll brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Sing that with me. Someone to care.
All your heartache
like no other can do. For he'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Let's lift our hands together, can we? Let's sing that song, I Will Praise Him. Don't forget the services tonight. We'd like for you to come back and be with us. Enjoy ministering the word of the Lord and fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. And indeed, it is wonderful because ye are they that dwell in heaven.
I know we wonder a lot of times about making it in. But folks, let me tell you, when you're born again, you made it in. You made it in. You said, well, what then is this wonderful Holy Ghost for, aside from the fact that we're sealed, that we made it in? It is to keep us during the time that we're making this wonderful Spirit of Holiness, even God, manifest during our transition of life. He has to be made manifest as the life of Christ in our mortal genes. See, so He's keeping us. He gives His angels charge concerning us. They bear us up in all of our ways. Lest at any time we should dash our foot against a stone. And we're subduing this body is to make this body be the subject of Almighty God. And that in this, Christ is made manifest in this body, that the world can see it's not us living but Christ. And that the life we did live and the body that we once was is no more. But now it's God's world and it's God's children as to members of the body. As to you being members of a body, as to born of an individual, so then are we members of the body as being born of the wonderful seed of our Heavenly Father, children of the kingdom of God. So in this, we are being kept by the glory of God unto the day of the change. And this wonderful, glorious Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit on the inside of our heart, He's our consolation and comfort through all the rough places and through all the things that happen to us, all the disappointments of life. He consoles us and keeps us and helps us and blesses us and strengthens us. And so in this wonderful God that's on the inside of you, desire to use your body that you might allow Him to utilize the membership of your human instrumentality as in the behalf of His kingdom, that He might reward you eternally with a glorified body, with a glorified knowledge, and with a glorified life and glorified riches in a glorified world. So then, let us walk circumspectly, and let's watch, and let's pray, and let's believe. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. Let's believe. If we know the word and don't believe it, we're like the Jews, not been mixed with faith that did not profit them that heard it. But folks, this is a wonderful word. It is from everlasting to everlasting. It's to every generation without alter, wraith, nor change. And it is for you, as in this day, that it might heal you. His word heals you. His word saves you. His word blesses you. His word makes you rich and adds no sorrow. It is His wonderful word that glorifies you, that's perfected you forever. This wonderful God, even Christ Himself. How beautiful, how beautiful, how wonderful. Being the sons of God, Brother Taylor, already being children of God, already being one with Him, already having passed from death unto life, already having all things that pertain unto godliness, just waiting for the change of the body as to the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, as to that Spirit working itself outwardly through this transitional change of our schooling is going on to our diplomacy, even the change in a moment of the twinkling of an eye as to that which we have received inside to be made manifest in our mortal genes that we might be about our Father's business, to be caught up into heaven, to rule with that rod of iron, to have the powers of rulership and riches from everlasting to everlasting. As He is, so are we in Him. Let's sing this little chorus together. And I will praise Him, the Lamb for sinners slain. Sing that with me now. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Lift your hands up and close your eyes with me now. And I will. I'm going to ask Steve Whitlow if Steve will come up and dismiss us. Can you praise the Lord? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Let's be sure that we're understanding, that we're hearing, that we're walking in the Word. Not as to denominational things, as to doctrines and ideology, but walking in the Word. The Bible speaks of old wives' fables. That is to say, fleshly fables, in that flesh is in the feminine gender. Don't listen to their doctrines that are not right. Listen to the Word of God. Let every man be a liar, and let the Word of God be true. So I will praise Him. I will praise.